On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, JoJo, Kyle Quinn in for Hugh today. Francisco Rojas behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls here on the Phils. Top five last quarter century. Does Bryce Harper deserve an automatic spot? It's pretty interesting. Our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Yes at 50%, no at 50%. That's exactly split down the middle.
Can't have a better question than that, man. 50-50.
And it's obvious that the 50% are wrong because he does not deserve an automatic spot. Well,
I mean, your 50% is
now,
wrong.
Now, automatic is Jimmy Rollins. Automatic is Chase Utley. Yep. Automatic is not Bryce Harper.
Yes, it is. No. It's very clearly Bryce Harper. No. He is the face of this generation of Phillies baseball.
I'm going to retract my statement because some people don't have some people don't have Utley. Like when I think automatic the last 25 years of Phillies baseball, it's Jimmy Rollins. Mm-hmm. Whether you have him fourth or third or second or first on your list, he played the longest, he has the all-time hits record, he won an MVP, won a World Series.
Like, do you consider him the face of that era? I don't know if there's one face. I think it's clear that Bryce is the face of this one.
You're probably right. I think it's probably Rollins. Now, the face doesn't mean you have to be the best player.
No, right. Of course not. Hurts is the face of the Eagles.
Yeah, I would say it's Rollins then. He was around the longest. He spanned... How many managers did he span? I mean, he was here forever. He was here from, 01 to 14?
Yeah, I mean, longer than I would have thought. Just like you only sort of view it as in that like pocket.
Right.
From like, I guess 07 to 11, 12 or whatever. But he was before and after. I mean,
he was the first one here and then he lasted almost to the end, you know, with all those guys. Obviously, Howard was here. But to me, Jimmy Rollins is automatic. Bryce Harper, not. Where do you guys come down? 215-592-9494. All right, we're going to get to a big story in the NFC East last night. But first, we have a prize to give away today. And this is on me. I got caught.
Yeah, you were ducking Q's clues.
Well, what I was doing is I was looking up Chase Utley versus Bryce Harper stats because I was upset. So I forgot.
More important things?
Yes. I forgot to tell everyone. We have a pair of tickets. Phillies and Red Sox coming up July 22nd, 6:45. Suddenly a big series and between two good teams because the Red Sox are on fire now. It's Y2K Retro Night celebrating the year 2000. And I love these names that are going to be there. John LeClaire, Mark Jackson, and 94 WIP's very own Ike Reese will be changing a base during the third inning. To me, the tickets are worth it just for that.
It's so funny.
Just show up for the third inning because Ike Reese is going to be changing a base. All right, after the game, you can stay for a free concert performed by Nelly from the Infield Dirt. So the tickets are for Tuesday night, July 22nd, 6:45 p.m.
It's such a random night.
It really is. Y2K night? It's, I don't know. It's awesome. I mean, we are doing quarter century week, so it all works out. Anyway, let's play a little game called Q's Clues.
Have you seen my dog, Hugh? He's got a brand new clue. It begins with a tramp stamp. Everybody's looking for Q's Clues. Come on in, come on in. Q's Clues. It's Q's Clues and you.
So the people have been begging for Q's Clues to come back to reprise the Q's Clues from yesterday because they were just so good and so much better than Hugh Douglas.
Well, the bar is low.
Low. We'll see where people come down on this first clue, though.
Okay.
But I still think I'm giving people a little bit more than Hugh would normally give. This one is an actor / comedian.
So clue number one, this person is an actor / comedian.
Yes. And is it fair to say that Hugh would only give you one of those two things?
Well, he probably...
He would just say actor.
He would say actor and
comedian.
Lead. Yeah. And
I'm
giving
you both.
He would probably emphasize the thing that the person is lesser known for.
That's
like
true.
Like Diana Ross.
Yeah, he would lead you astray.
Yeah.
I'm directing you to the water, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. You know what? I do think the people this week probably feel a sense of relief. They haven't been given so many bad clues this week. Like it's a little different. All right. So clue number one, pair of Phillies tickets on the line for Tuesday night, July 22nd. This is an actor and a comedian. This person is both of those things. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to your phone calls here in just a second on the Phils and the top five. But Kyle, we had a pretty big move in the NFC East last night.
Was it that big?
Well, a big name. How about that?
Sure.
Big name signed in the NFC East. The Commanders signed Von Miller last night, who is obviously older, 36 years old, but he's had a 6-sack season last year, and you know he's a Hall of Famer to add to their pass rush. And here's really... a question that I think we've all been wondering since the season ended into the offseason with both teams doing what they're doing. Do you view the Commanders as a real threat to the Eagles?
No. I mean, I didn't before this signing. Why would I now? They're filling up the retirement home with more geriatric patients. Like, the Commanders' offseason has baffled me from the jump and continues to baffle me. And where my head went with this Von Miller signing, the first thing I thought of was we had a conversation yesterday about were the Commanders sort of testing the TJ Watt market, and that's why they hadn't paid Terry McLaurin. Yeah. Now, if this is the case and that Von Miller is the consolation prize, like they bow out of the TJ Watt sweepstakes, they get Von Miller on the cheap, and then they end up turning around and paying Terry McLaurin, I view this as a massive win for the Eagles. You're going to tell me that they settle for a 36-year-old edge rusher who I have no idea is cooked or not, and they end up paying the wide receiver who's probably likely to be there next season anyway, regardless. Right. Like, I think they settled for Von Miller, and this should be viewed as a massive win for the Eagles. Like, the Commanders were already the oldest team on average in the NFL before this signing. And now they're doubling down on that. So I think this could go one of two ways. And the one extreme is it reminds me a little bit of the 2017 Eagles and that they had a lot of these mercenary type players. They banked on upside, maybe some older guys who, you know, you don't know if they have another good year left in the tank in them, but they did and they cashed in and they won the Super Bowl. Or they could all just fall off a cliff, which I think is the most likely outcome here. I mean, how many more good years is Zach Ertz going to give you? Von Miller, Deebo Samuel is chunky as hell. Like, you've seen him in those training camp videos. He looks fat. Laramie Tunsil being the biggest addition that they made this offseason. And that's just an offensive lineman. Like, I don't think their defense has improved from last season. And that was one of their bigger weaknesses last season. So, like, I don't believe Jaden Daniels is just going to suck for the rest of his career. I think he's due for a regression next year. Like, I'm not taking the Commanders seriously.
Oh, see, I am. Now, when we say threat, like, are they going to beat the Eagles in the NFC title game if they play them again or the playoffs? I don't know. The Eagles are better, I think, in a one-game scenario. But I view them as a threat in the division because week after week, I think they're going to have a really – they scored more points than the Eagles last year, guys. A lot more points per game.
That's cute.
They did. I mean, they're going to bring one of the best offenses in the NFL back with a better left tackle. They also drafted a right tackle in the first round, so they improved their offensive line. And we could say Debo's fat, but he's probably better than what they had. Actually, he's fat. But he's probably better than what they had at number two wide receiver last year.
Sure,
so they have
maybe.
McLaurin, and they have Deebo, and they have a better offensive line, and they have a tremendous young quarterback. They're going to score a lot of points.
Yeah, maybe. But, like, I mean, don't you think part of the reason they scored a lot more points last season is because they had to? I mean, the defense put them in situations where Daniels had to continue to throw in the fourth quarter. Like, the Eagles had the luxury of once Saquon put the opposing team away in the fourth quarter, it was like, that's it, shut it down. And by the way, like, the Eagles did this a lot last season where they just had these long, extended drives in the fourth quarter.
The Steeler game to end the game?
Yeah, like a 10-minute drive where they're just running the ball. And, like, that's not going to require you to score a lot of points. Our defense last year didn't require us on offense to score a lot of points. So, like, I don't view that as – I view that as more of, like, a circumstantial thing is why the Commanders score more points than the Eagles. Like, the Eagles are, I think, clearly far and away much better team than the Washington Commanders.
I think they're better too, but the Commanders won 12 football games. It wasn't like they were like 9-8 and then like made a run in the playoffs. They were 12-5.
Some of those were so lucky.
I get you.
They shouldn't have even beat the freaking Bears.
They probably shouldn't.
Bears.
Well,
dude.
Remember the video of the Bears player waving to the crowd down in DC, and then they throw the ball over his head.
But they had a lot of wins like that last year.
So I think, you know, and people keep bringing up how old they are, and they are the oldest team in the NFL, right? And they signed an older edge rusher. But you brought up the point of the 2017 Eagles. It is similar. Like, I could make a case that, like, maybe Von Miller's their Chris Long. Like, he's not what he used to be, but can he help them win some football games? Maybe. And the Deebo thing. You know, remember when the Eagles signed Alshon Jeffrey?
Yep.
He was coming off a couple down years at Chicago. Yeah. He had injuries. He was kind of chunky. He was trying to reestablish himself. Because remember, early in Alshon's career, he was awesome. Then he kind of went a few years backwards. And I think Alshon signed a one-year deal with the Eagles. So, like, I think there's some similarities to that. I'm not telling you the Commanders are going to win the Super Bowl. I'm not telling you they're the best team in the NFL and they're better roster than the Eagles. But I view them as a threat. That title game last year, the Eagles ended up blowing them out. But if you remember, that game was what, 14-12 before halftime? Yep. Hertz throws the bomb
close
to AJ.
I mean, wasn't it even like 27-20 at one point, I think?
Like, and they fumbled like three or four times.
Yep.
When the two regular season games last year were very competitive. Mm-hmm. We beat them here in November, right? And we had the stop of Jaden Daniels on the fourth down in the fourth quarter. And then in December, I know Hertz got hurt, but that was a shootout and they beat the Eagles. I mean, one team went up and down the field on the Eagles in the last 4 months of the season.
Sure.
One quarterback did. It was Jaden Daniels. Yeah. Like, Mahomes couldn't do it. Stafford couldn't do it. One quarterback did it in 4 months. So, I take the Commanders seriously.
They were a scrappy team last season, but they won a lot of swing games. And if you just, I mean, tendency in the NFL is that starts to swing the other way a little bit.
It does.
And I don't even buy Dan Quinn as, like, this great coach. Like, if I'm looking at the biggest reasons for the Commanders' success last year, that's squarely on the shoulders of Jaden Daniels.
And while
I think he's here to stay, I don't think he's going to repeat last season. There's going to be more film out on him. And by the way, like, Jaden Daniels, I think he ended up playing every game, or did he miss one or something like that? But
I think he missed one.
But, man, I'm telling you, look out for that guy in terms of, like, an injury risk. He's a thin dude, and he got that rib injury, and that was probably the worst pocket of the Commanders' season last year when he was injured. Like, I just don't think they have enough around Jaden Daniels to uplift him if he falls, at least if he regresses back to the mean a little bit.
So he did play all the games. He came out early in one of the games, though. The Panthers game, he came, because that's when he got hurt. So he ended up playing every game, 17 games. But look, I hope everyone is right that they're old and he could regress. I mean, sometimes young quarterbacks just get better, right?
Sure. Like, no, they do Mahomes.
Lamar. Yeah. I mean, Lamar came in the league and it was like, whoa, and then he won the MVP in his second year in the NFL.
Yes.
Same thing with, Mahomes came in and won the MVP in his second year. I take them seriously. Do you like or don't like that we don't see them until December?
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like the fact that they're sandwiching those two games within the last 3 weeks of the season. I don't know what either of these two teams are going to look like by then. And then, by the way, I mean, if you think about it this way, if the Commanders do make the playoffs and so do the Eagles, we could see them the very next week. That could be four games or three games in 4 weeks against the Commanders. I mean, that's tough, dude. That's tough for both teams.
So I think it could work out the way you're saying, and it's really challenging, right? It also could be if you're right and other people are right about their regression, maybe they're just a middling team and they know it by the time we see them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going out on a limb here. I don't even think the Commanders are the biggest threat in the division.
Oh, so you're wrong on this.
I'm not. I don't think I am. Everyone's
just
so
say
quick.
It with me. Dismiss the Cowboys.
No,
dismiss the Cowboys.
I'm not going to dismiss Dallas. I'm not going to do it. Like, and we can make fun of the Brian Schottenheimer, want to be Sirianni hire all we want, and I do believe that is the case.
Brian Schottenheimer?
I'm not saying Brian Schottenheimer is going to be a reason that they win, but we made fun of Jason Garrett, who won a coach of the year, by the way, with the Cowboys. He managed to rip off 13 wins in a season before.
Yeah.
We clowned on Mike McCarthy.
Well, McCarthy
when they hired
at least
him.
Has a resume.
Well, he does, but again, we were like, what a Jerry Jones hire Mike McCarthy was. There's
also Wade Phillips in the 2007
and
range.
I'm not saying the Cowboys are a threat to win a playoff game. We all know that's not going to happen, but they just somehow managed to scrape together wins in the regular season. And I would bet, at least right now, as it seems, they're going to have an easier schedule than both the Eagles and the Commanders.
Well, yeah, I mean, they have the third-place schedule. Are the Commanders a real threat to the Eagles next season? Absolutely they are. I mean, let me bring this up. I know you'll dismiss it quickly before we go back to the phone lines. No one has won the division in back-to-back years.
Who cares?
But after a while, doesn't it, like, resonate? Like, how many more years until you say,
No, but then,
obviously something's to this.
Okay, but then what are we saying next year when the Eagles do win the division back-to-back years?
What a
quirky little coincidence that we've had for about 20 years. That's all it is. It's a coincidence.
No, it's more than a coincidence.
No.
How could you go 20-plus years with the same thing happening and saying there's something to it?
Well, it would be one thing if this were happening in a lot of other divisions. Like, it would just speak to, I think, something in the NFL where it's like it's hard to just win your division in back-to-back years. It's only the NFC East, really.
I have a theory. And maybe it's going to change now, and maybe it's Hurts taking a leap and playing great. Maybe it's Daniels. The NFC East has not had consistent MVP level quarterback play.
No.
Like, why did the Bills win it every year? Allen. Why did the Chiefs win it every year? Mahomes. Why did Peyton Manning win it every
year? And the Patriots being in the crappy AFC East.
And Brady, right? But the NFC East, like, who have been the best quarterbacks? Yeah. It was Donovan, and he was very good. But
that was when we won back-to-back.
Yes, and then, when this run started, Donovan stopped being that good. Then it became Romo, who was good but not great, right? Yep. It became Eli, good but not great. Then who we have? Dak. Yeah. Wentz, Hurts, like there's, and even Cousins like popped up here and there, but like there's been no great quarterback. The concern is that great quarterback might be in Washington.
Maybe, but it could also, but like, I mean, we have a pretty consistently good quarterback here too.
Consistently good, yes.
Right. But
his two best years, they won the division.
That matters. Yeah. Also, like, I think, I mean, the Eagles look like they're building something that's here to stay too. Like, I don't know. I think we look at that as we use it as a crutch a lot of times, but really, like, it's like superstitious, mythical crap to me.
I mean,
like,
it's the truth.
I just don't buy it.
It's the truth.
I know it's the truth, but like, it means nothing. It's a fun trend to look at, but it's not a pattern to me that indicates anything to come.
Can I just have the Eagles win it this year so I could get off it?
Then I would love that.
That would be great. Then I don't have to worry about it anymore. All right, 215-592-9494. For your phone calls on all this. The Phillies, top five of the last 25. Does Bryce Harper deserve a guaranteed spot? No. And the Commanders, are they a real threat to the Eagles? 58% voting no on a team that played the Eagles tougher than almost anyone in the regular season. And how many teams beat the Eagles in the last 4 months? That'd be one. And who was that? That was the Commanders.
Yeah, but the quarterback was injured.
Yeah. Jaden Daniels scored like 5 touchdowns in the second half.
I know.
Well, but that has nothing to do with the quarterback.
So I was angry at Aaron yesterday, but because we had this debate after that game when it happened. Like, I think he was right when he said that it's just a different looking game if Jalen Hurts is in there.
It probably is.
Just think about how every other game for the Eagles went last year. They're holding the ball. They're controlling the clock. Like, they're staying on the field. They're not having three and out, stuff like that. Like, a lot of that, I think, contributed to why they lost to the Commanders. And by the way,
it was a weird dick game.
And by the way, Devontae Smith dropped the ball.
I know. Pickett put it on his hands. He dropped. They didn't get blown out by the Commanders, but
gave us trouble.
What struck me is the only quarterback to really go up and down the field on the Eagles in 4 months from October through February was Jaden. I mean, that's the truth.
And we got film on him.
We do. Big Al is in Blackwood. Hey, Big Al.
Hey, this is Big Al. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Big Al.
Yeah, how are you guys doing?
We're good. What's up, buddy? What are you thinking?
I know one of your callers mentioned that it was Senior Citizen Day.
Yes. Is that accurate?
Every day is Senior Citizen Day for me. I will be 76 in August.
Oh, well, there you go.
We should get Hugh on the line then.
Yeah, Hugh's almost with you. Not quite, but he's getting there. Go ahead, Al. What are you thinking?
For the 5 top players, I got some players that you probably wouldn't think about.
Okay.
I don't think anybody's mentioned Brad Lidge.
No one has. Well, he had a perfect season, which certainly is an interesting element to this.
Yeah, and he was basically unhittable. I can still remember some of his pitches dropping out of that strike zone where the batters were missing by a foot and a half. He was absolutely amazing.
Dominant.
Including Eric Hinsky to finish the World Series. All right, so you got Brad Lidge.
Yeah, I got Pat Farrell, one of my favorite team players.
Pat the bat.
All right, well, now who's being left off?
And Cole Hamels, of course.
Okay.
Carlos Ruiz.
Two chooches.
Yep, and Shane Victorino.
So what about, like, Utley and Howard and Hamels?
Well, these are my picks.
No, I mean, I can't argue with that.
Yeah, I can't. They were all great players.
So you obviously are with me in that you don't think Bryce Harper gets an automatic spot.
Take your time.
Yeah, he's up there with the top five. Yeah,
but not automatic.
I'm not giving it to him. One thing I want to mention: a lot of people think you go to first base, you can retire to first base. People think it's an easy position. I played first base until I was 46, and I will have to say, you get beat the F up on first base. You get ran into, you get spiked, you get the ball thrown so hard to you, you get handcuffed. Bryce Harper should go back to the outfield, but I know what he's looking for. He wants to be the designated hitter next season.
Well, that means Kyle Schwarber won't be here, Al.
Can't have that, Al.
Al, you know, it's interesting you bring that up. And Al, good phone call and certainly an interesting list. I mean, you got Brad Lidge on
there.
We've
been disrespecting Chooch.
This is two Chooches.
We've been disrespecting them.
This is why Harper needs an automatic bid. We're twisting ourselves in a pretzel. Victorino? I love Victorino. Chooch? Love Chooch. But what are we doing?
You know, I'm starting to write down all the names we're getting because by the end, we did it with Ruben on Monday with the Eagles or Tuesday. I'm going to try to think of like who's the best Philly of this 25 years that will not get mentioned. I already have a candidate that I have not heard yet. But one thing he said, I think it was Eric Kratz was on with us a year or two ago, and he mentioned first base is not quite the easy physical position that some people think. Because you're always moving and bending.
Bending over.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, it's not as, like I always think like sometimes we think about that throw from the outfield, like, oh, that's going to hurt his arm. Mm-hmm. But the corner outfield for the most part, it's not a very physically demanding.
It's a cozy spot. Nick Castellanos talked about how he just forgot to lock in a lot of times. But
cozy's the right word. You could be forgotten for three innings.
You can get very comfortable over there. And think about it. Bryce is in a spot where it's the only base where somebody is allowed to run full speed through the bag.
Yep.
And we've seen Bryce before, his arm get hit in a really awkward way by somebody running full speed into him. It is a hot spot right there.
Yeah, I agree with the caller. It's not as simple as, hey, just hang out at first base and you have no injuries the rest of your career. Obviously, he's had wrist issues for 2 years now. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to everyone's phone calls coming up on the other side. Your guesses for Q's Clues. First clue today was an actor/comedian. Philly's tickets for Tuesday night, July 22nd on the line. Today, it is Y2K Retro Night at the Phils next week, including Ike Reese changing a base after the third inning. Are your calls on this? Do you consider the Commanders a real threat to the Eagles this coming season? And we'll get to some of the audio last night as the Eagles were crowned Team of the Year at the ESPYs. All coming up. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Showzilla, Kyle Quinn in for Hugh. Francisco Rojas is behind the glass today. You guys with us are coming up at noon. We will dive into some of the excerpts of the very long Joel Embiid article. I've been reading this in spurts for 2 days now, the Joel Embiid article at ESPN. Morning Show did a lot on it today. There's a lot there to unpack. Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of dark. I mean, it's not like a newsy thing where, we found out about a new injury. It's just kind of the chronicling the whole career of Joel.
It brought me down. In a mess. I'm not coming off a three seed at minimum.
I forgot about that.
Three seed at minimum.
Yeah, the at minimum is a lot.
Did give me beginning of the end vibes.
Yeah, it's an interesting look at Joel and kind of his mentality through his career. We'll get to that coming up at 12 o'clock. Finishing the Phillies later in the show as well. And a pair of tickets. Phillies, Red Sox coming up July 22nd at 6:45. Q's Clues. First clue, a comedian/actor. All right, we're going to let you hear it. It is a good clue. It's better than most of the Q's Clues we hear where no one knows for 2 hours what the heck that guy's talking about. All right, we will let you hear the ESPYs award speech last night as the Eagles took home Team of the Year. Back to your phone calls now, though. Rob in Delco's up. Hey, Rob.
Yo, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Rob?
Listen, I'm going to give you my top five real fast, and then I got to take a shot at you from something you said yesterday. Joe,
okay,
right?
Can't wait. Yep.
And then if there's time to get on the Joel Embiid, why is he even more of a loser after that article came out?
Okay.
First thing, my top five, Joe, take your top five, move everybody down a spot, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to put somebody in first place. Now, of course, you know, people will disagree with it, but he's the best that I've seen at his position for the last 5 or 6 years, and he hasn't gotten a Cy Young, but he deserves it. Zach Wheeler's number one for me, Joe.
Okay.
Number one. All-time Phillies in
the last So do we have the same five people just in different rows? So you put Wheeler one and then the Utley, Rollins, Howard, Hamels group?
Yes, and people forget about Utley, Joe. Not only was he great for, a stretch for 5 or 6 years at his position, But in 09, he had a phenomenal, was it the World Series or the play? What do you have, 6-7 home runs in that?
I think it was at least five. He set a record for home runs in a World Series, yeah.
So he was phenomenal in the 09 World Series.
Six home runs in the playoffs.
I think five came in the World Series, yeah.
Yeah. So he was great in that postseason run, that World Series run. So that's why he's at number two for me. And a little shot, how I took one at Schwarber yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I take a little one at Harper. He's had 100 RBIs, Joe, one time with the Phillies. One time. Joe, you could fall ass backwards into 100 RBIs.
No, you couldn't.
Ballpark.
What are you talking about?
In this ballpark, Kyle.
You ass backwards into 100 RBIs?
Yeah.
You're on drugs.
100 RBIs. Okay, for a guy that's, you know, the face of the franchise, Joe, do you agree that's a kind of weak 100 RBIs?
So I think it's a couple things. One, it speaks to his first few years. Well, so I think if we're in the interest of fairness, right, we're always fair on the midday show. And I probably left this out of earlier when I was talking about his games played and his 30 home run seasons. One of these years was the pandemic season, right? So no one had 100 RBIs in a 60-game season, right? So I just want to be fair. That one, we kind of have to remove it.
RBIs are dependent on people on base around you.
Yeah, the beginning of his career here, who are we talking about? Like that first year when he actually knocked in 114, who was it? I think it was Cesar. Was it Cesar hitting leadoff in 18? It might have been Cesar.
Yeah, low and away getting you 90 RBIs, Joe. Low and away in right field.
Well, hold on. But part of that is because Bryce Harper's on base for Castellanos.
Yeah, he hits in a different part of the order.
Yeah.
No.
Stop cherry picking, Rob. Leave my guy alone.
You know what I think this is? It actually speaks more to the games he's missed. Right, because the only year he knocked in 100 as a Philly, that's the most games he played as a Philly. If he played in 150 games a year, he would knock in 100. He doesn't play enough.
That's a big knock, Joe.
I agree.
No, it's not.
Little China doll.
Well, he needs to play
the injuries, okay. Yeah.
Little China doll sometimes, Kyle. I thought it's a little China doll, Bryce. But
what?
You know, we get on Joel about it. Bryce is a little China doll too.
Yeah, no. Okay. The injury stuff, I'll agree with
you. It's a problem.
But leave him alone about the RBIs.
I just think that's weak though, once and
By the way,
he only has two 100 RBI seasons in his whole career.
That's even worse. That's even worse for a guy that
he has two MVPs. Rob, you're looking at his RBIs.
Kyle, that says a lot.
No, it doesn't.
He also only has two 100 run score seasons. He's missed too many games. This is the problem. He misses.
Has he ever hit 40 home runs in a season, Joe?
Yeah, once. His first MVP year. Yeah.
Once. Come on. Yeah.
Bob, he has three seasons of an OPS over 1,000.
That's really good. Yeah, that's
really good.
That's big time stuff.
I give credit for credit. That's great. I'm just saying, he's got quite a bit of knock on him. He's got some knock on him. And listen, Joe, real fast, that big stinking loser across the parking lot from Citizens Bank Park. I don't like being the number one guy because guys like James Harden don't talk to me anymore. I got a knee that blows up like a balloon between the games and the Knicks series. But I'm a selfish you-know-what, and I want to go play in the Olympics. Joe, he's the biggest loser this city has ever had. What a waste of talent, Joe. A waste of talent, okay?
Well, so there's two separate things to there. Biggest loser, there's probably been bigger losers. But unfortunately, it does feel like it's going to end up where his talent is wasted to the degree of winning. I mean, like, obviously he won an MVP, but like, he is one of the most talented players we've ever seen in the NBA at his size.
It's a little harsh.
Yeah, but it does feel like it's going to be wasted in terms of the full scope of his career. It's sad.
I say tongue-in-cheek, Kyle, because he has epic talent.
I don't think you do say it tongue-in-cheek.
But
I talk to you all the time.
But he's a loser. He's a loser.
Well, he's not a championship player. That's so obvious. Rob, what do you got for us your guests for Q's Clues?
All right, there's quite a few, and since there's a remake of this movie coming out, I'm going to go Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler is a good one. Rob, we appreciate the phone call. It's not Adam Sandler, but Adam Sandler certainly... There you go. Does it feel good giving a clue where people are onto
it?
Yes. Like the first guess is like, oh, that fits.
This is how the clues should be done.
Yeah.
Take notes, Douglas.
I can't wait to tell him when he gets back that the clues were just in a different stratosphere when he wasn't around.
Yep. And the people are celebrating them as opposed to ripping them.
Well, they have to get it, though. That's part of it. Right. All right. Jim in Malvern is up. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hope you're all doing good over there.
We are, Jim. Sure. What's up? What are you thinking, buddy?
All right, I got two things I want to say about Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
He's an excellent player. It's clear he's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But why does no one mention what they always mentioned about Jalen? Who has he played? what schedule did they have from the year before where, like, they always talked about Jalen, like, who has he played? He's not beating anybody. They're all bad teams. But that has never been brought up with Jaden. He's played one season after whatever record they had last year, which was terrible. So, and they get to play Dallas twice. They get to play the Giants twice. And they get to beat us in a garbage game. That's five games right there. I don't know if they won all five, but.
They lost one of those. They did lose one of the Dallas games. But yeah, I mean,
To be fair, they won two playoff games.
That's still four games where they were donuts that they just got the win for free.
I mean, they did go into Detroit in the second round and beat a team that was the number one
seed. They won two playoff games on the road.
A Detroit team that was like mash unit.
So they were the number one seed.
Well, hold on.
15
so
games.
They were a mash unit, but remember Detroit in the last game of the regular season with the same mash unit beat the Vikings and held them down and held Darnold and Jefferson down. Like very few people thought the Commanders were going to walk into Detroit and put up 45 points. I mean, that was pretty impressive.
You're right. You're right. The second thing is, there's tape on him now. People forget how powerful that is. Like, we've got games now where we can watch him and start to learn more about him. Like, there's something to be said about that. I mean, C.J. Stroud's going through it now. All these guys that come out like gangbusters. And then the second year, they pull back a little bit because we got some stuff to work with to figure out what he likes, what he doesn't like. He doesn't like to go to his left. Let's make him go to his left. You know, all that stuff is going to work against. I still think Dallas is a more bigger threat than Washington.
Attaboy.
See, now you guys are...
Jim's right.
Dak Prescott's a good quarterback.
Sure
he
is.
Say what you want about him, but he's a good quarterback, and they've got CeeDee Lamb, they've got Micah Parsons, they've got a great
Pickens
defensive backfield. They've got a good offensive line. I mean, they've made some changes there, and their running game suspect, but don't sleep on Dallas.
No, I'm dismissing Dallas, Jim. Dismiss them. They're done. All right, Jim, what do you got for us? What's your guess for Q's Clues?
I got two in my head. I'm going to go with one. They're probably both wrong, but I'm going to say Ricky Gervais.
Mm. Ooh, it's a good one. Not it, but a good one. So it's the point on maybe regression or just like the league has tape on him and maybe the schedule is easy or hard or whatever last year. I'm looking at the Commander schedule. I feel like we're going to know pretty early because I think just based on the schedule, they should start 3-1. And if they don't, maybe they are going to regress. So they start with the Giants. Mm. They're going to win that game, right? Yeah. They go to Green Bay on a Thursday night in week two. That feels like a tough game.
Yep.
They host the Raiders, and they go to Atlanta. Like, that to me is 3-1.
Yeah.
If they don't start 3-1, then maybe then regression is coming.
3-1 at worst. I mean, if they come out of that 2-2, I mean, I'm going to be told you so.
Because they should beat the Giants and Raiders.
Absolutely.
And the Green Bay game on the road in a short week, that's tough.
Yeah, but I don't even know what Green Bay is going to be next season.
I don't either. But that's tough.
Sure. Yep.
But if they don't start 3-1, then maybe you guys are
right.
Maybe.
It has to be a 3-1 start for them.
Yeah, I think we're gonna know a month in. Like, are the Commanders picking up where they left off, or is this gonna be more choppy? All right. Speaking of the team that beat the Commanders last year, they beat them in the NFC Championship game. Then they went on to win that big game a few weeks later against the Chiefs. They were named the Team of the Year. Let's hear it last night at the ESPYs.
And the ESPY goes to Philadelphia Eagles.
On behalf of the Philadelphia Eagles organization, thank you. What an honor it is to be associated with all the great teams that were up for this award. Thank you to the fans that voted for us, and thank you to the best fans in the world back home in Philly.
If you made it this far into the program, give yourselves a pat on the back. It's been a long night. I also want to give thanks to our sixth offensive lineman, Shane Gillis. Shane, where are you at?
Yeah.
Training camp starts next week on Tuesday, so if you want to give it a run, let us know. But I also want to give thanks to the many people who don't get the light shine on them. You know, our trainers, our strength and conditioning trainers, our athletic trainers, our chefs. But then you look deeper than that. It's our families, our rock, the people who support us, who get us to work every day, and our why. So thank you to everyone who supported us. Thank you to all our fans. And I've got to say it again. Go Birds, baby. Come on.
Sirianni and Jordan Mailata last night with the acceptance. That was pretty cool. And, you know, the ESPYs are what they are, right? It's like a fun thing in the middle of the All-Star Week. But it does resonate. Like, they were named the best team of the year in all of the sports. Like, there's obviously the Thunder were a great team. The Dodgers won the World Series last year. Like, they were the team of the year.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the list of the nominees for the team of the year. The Panthers winning back-to-back cups.
Yep.
Awesome. The Dodgers, I mean, loaded team.
Well, yeah, they have those great players they have.
Right. OKC, the New York Liberty. I mean, going down this list, like, the Eagles, I think, are just from start to finish. Well, maybe not the start, but from that moment, that inflection point of the season, from the bye week on, it was just pure dominance.
It was.
I mean, they were stacked up and down the roster. Like, up and down the roster. I can't think of the weakness on the team last year. Maybe Jake Elliott as the kicker.
Yeah,
what was the Eagles' weakness last season?
They didn't have one. They didn't. Not from week five on, week six after the bye. They played as close to perfect football as you could play.
And they got better and better as the year went on. And then, exclamation point, kicking the Commanders' ass in the championship. And then the Chiefs, the way they dominated the team, going for a three-peat. They kicked their ass. Like, they made Patrick Mahomes look like Gardner Minshew. Like, he had no idea what he was doing out there.
I think that's what made them the team of the year, the way they dominated the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Like, if they had won the Super Bowl by 3 points, we all would be just as happy. But then it would be like, them or the Dodgers or the Thunder, they're all great, right?
It was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, the way they did that. And a team that had won back-to-back rings.
Yes. And really, I mean, if you take away that Commanders game where Jalen Hurts was out, they're on a 17 game win streak?
Yeah, so they were 2-2 at the bye.
Yeah.
And then think about the month of September when they started 2-2, right? One of the losses was to the Falcons when Saquon dropped the ball.
Yep.
And then the other loss was in Tampa.
They were pretty decimated roster-wise. AJ Brown was out, I think. Was Lane out?
Lane was out. AJ was out.
Devontae out, too.
And Devontae out. So you can make a case like at full strength they lost one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a remarkable season.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it really was. Team of the year at the ESPYs last night, which I don't usually watch, and I didn't sit down and watch last night. I did see some clips. It seemed like this, what's his name? Gillis,
yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed what I saw.
Me too.
It was funny.
A very uptight crowd.
Well, I think sometimes people aren't ready for his jokes.
No, I don't think he's getting invited back.
No, but he made his mark in his 3 hours he had last night.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Me too.
I thought it was funny. Scott in Washington Township. What's up, Scott?
Hello?
Scott!
Hey, yeah, I tell you what, with the Redskins, I think that, or whatever they're called,
Commanders.
I think you got to take them seriously, even though I think they could step back. And you look how close we came to losing the Rams game because we thought it was over with 4 minutes left. I think that shows you got to take everybody seriously, especially a team that gave you trouble last year, at least competed with you last year, like the Commanders did.
Well, I know a lot of people point to the title game and it ended up a blowout. We faced them twice in the regular season, and it was close. Even, you know, I know, and obviously Jalen got knocked out of the second one in the regular season, but that first game here in November, that game was tight right until the end. I mean, and I think Saquon ran for a touchdown late to kind of blow the score open a little bit, but that was, the Commanders played the Eagles tough last year.
And also, CJ GJ went out, so we're going to have to see if the game they lost to the Commanders, and we'll have to see if the defense, if we fill in the pieces as well as we're hoping we have.
Yeah, it's the biggest story of this camp is what this defense looks like. Because I just go back to the conversation in March, and everyone seemed like, no big deal, we're losing all these guys. Like, they lost half of that defense.
I'm just done hearing about the Commanders last year.
I can hear it.
I just like it doesn't really it doesn't matter to me. Let's see them do it again.
Sure, but the Eagles also have to do it again.
Well,
like that Eagles defense is not the same.
But they were just in the Super Bowl 2 years before this.
Yes,
the Eagles have a history of sustained success.
Of course, yeah,
and
no
being
question.
At the top of the league than the Commanders. The Commanders were what? Were they 5-12 the year before?
Yeah, I'm not even sure the Commanders are going to sustain this for 3 or 4 years. This year, I think they're a threat. But like 2 years from now, they could fall back. I mean, who knows? So the Eagles are the only team in the division that you got to give the benefit of the doubt to every year.
Yeah, I agree. I can see a step back with the Commanders, but I definitely think we have to take them seriously. And Daniels does seem to have a little bit of that it factor that you got to be worried if it's a close game late.
Oh, for sure. I felt that from like this first or second game last year. All right, Scott, what do you got for your top five Phillies?
My top five Phillies, I say that Harper was not an automatic, but he did make the list. I had to think about it. But number one to me has to be Ryan Howard. He was the big bat in the middle of the lineup. If you look at most of the great teams in MLB history, they had that guy in the middle of the lineup. 58 home runs, 149 RBIs. Like he has 3 or 4 years like that. I mean, he was unbelievable. He's got to be number one. Then Rollins, Utley, Wheeler, who has just been incredible. And then I put Harper at number five. And if I had a six, I would go Hamels. But I just felt like that, you know, he just he had the great World Series, but he wasn't great consistently. He was good usually.
That feels like an auto spot for Harper, though, if you're going to put him in over Cole Hamels. Like, you had to knock somebody off of the World Series winning team to put Bryce Harper in.
Well, that's true. That's why I had to think about it. And that was my – that's why he wasn't an automatic for me. The other four were automatic. Wheeler's so good, and he's so good in the playoffs. And the other three guys, I mean, I don't see how you don't have them on. I mean, you know, the one thing about the 08 team is that USA Today did a story this year, and they ranked them third as the best – of the best teams of the century in baseball. So that was really not just a World Series winner. That was a great World Series winner.
That's interesting. The 08 team, that's interesting. I wouldn't have guessed they were ranked that high just because they. It wasn't like they won 105 games in the regular season.
Yeah, I don't view them that way.
Yeah,
I mean, I think
either.
They had better teams
it.
After that.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. But, you know, the better team is the one that wins. And I think maybe that's part of it is that they look at the 4 years that they were so good and they say, wow, that team was great and this is the one they want, so we'll put them up there.
That makes sense.
But it's true. But it is true. They were better probably in some of those years that they didn't win it.
Yeah, they probably were. Scott, what's your guess for Q's Clues?
I'm going to go with Robin Williams.
Ah, it's a very good one. One of my favorites. Scott, we appreciate that's not it. Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, I'd be surprised to read that article and have them that high.
I would not put them that high.
Phillies.
No, I wouldn't put them.
The one thing, though, they never trailed in any series, right? They won game one of every series?
Yes.
It felt like they were playing from ahead the whole time. Like they got, because Hamels won, I think Hamels won game one of all the series.
Right.
They jumped on teams.
Yep.
They played great baseball in the postseason.
Yeah. So I'm noticing that the one guy that everybody's choosing to put in from this era over Bryce Harper is Zach Wheeler. And I don't think that's a crazy thing. Wheeler, I think, overall,
it's better.
It's been a better Philly than Bryce Harper. But, like, I'm telling you, when we look back 10 years from now at how this run ended, none of this is going to fall on Zach Wheeler. Whether they win or whether they lose is going to be looked at back. It's going to go on Bryce Harper's resume more than anybody.
So, I think you're right. But let me paint a scenario where maybe it's different. Let's say they make the playoffs this year, right? Mm-hmm. And Bryce is the Bryce we've seen so far. And he just doesn't do much. It's not bad, but it's like he's not 3 years ago Bryce. Mm-hmm. And Wheeler pitches game 1, 4, and 7, and they win the World Series. Mm-hmm. It might shift. Then it's him.
Here's where I don't agree. Have you not noticed what just happened with this Eagles season that we just saw? It all goes to Jalen Hurts. But they had the number one defense in the league.
But Hurts played great in the Super Bowl.
I understand that. He did, right?
And if Bryce is the Super Bowl MVP,
World Series MVP.
Yeah.
Well, right, but like I'm just saying, this has turned into the Jalen Hurts show.
Which is not what the season was.
No, it wasn't at all.
Well, that's why we had the doctor's coat in here and I told everyone they have amnesia. Everyone just forgot what the season was. It was the Saquon Barkley show.
This is just what people do. They put like...
Yeah,
when
but
you're,
you can be
when
the agent
the face,
of change.
I'm never going to be that.
Well, you don't have... But you're trying to do it with Jalen Hurts. Not to Bryce Harper, though.
Yeah, it's true.
Tom and Easton. Yeah, you are. Tom and Easton, what's up?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, Tom. What's up?
I'm going to give you my top five.
Okay. What do you have for us?
How's Jimmy Rollins, I think, is a no-brainer as number one. I mean, as far as offense, defense, everything about him all around, number one. Chase Utley would be my number two spot there. I like Cole Hamels as number three. And then, you know, looking out 2 years from now, I think we're going to be talking Bryce Harper and Zach Wheeler, and they're going to be two of the all-time greats.
So, if I'm following it right, you don't have Ryan Howard.
No. I don't know. I think I saw him strike out too many times to really be into him. Am I wrong about that?
Well, he struck out a lot. I mean, you're not wrong about it. You know what? The one thing about Howard, and it might be coming back to where people are now reminiscing about the good days. Tom, I do think, because you said you watched him strike out too much, I think it almost hurt him that he stayed around the whole time. Like, we never had to watch Utley hobble around with the Dodgers and be a bench player, right? We never had to watch Jimmy Rollins, you know, really at the end, Dodger and I think Giant and I think he was a White Sox, whatever he was. He was a Sox at the end. Like, we watched Ryan Howard really kind of sadly go out all the way to the end. Even Cole Hamels, right? He went to Texas and then the Cubs. We didn't see the end as much. I think that almost, you wish you didn't have to watch the end with Howard.
Right, yep.
I think that's part of it, why maybe he falls down some of us. All right, Tom, what's your guess for Q's Clues?
Well, I'm going to go with a guy that started in Bosom Buddies, Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. You know, that's
these are good guesses.
They are. Though I don't think of Tom Hanks as a comedian. When I think of Tom Hanks, it's only actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, some of the roles are funnier, right, and make you laugh. But some of the guests we've gotten so far, I think of their comedy along with their acting.
I don't view him as an actor-comedian.
He's an actor.
Yeah, just an actor.
Is Tom Hanks the actor of the last 40 years?
Oh, yeah. I would have to say he is.
Would you say the same, Fran?
I guess.
Who would you put ahead of him?
I don't know.
If you can't think of one.
I guess so. I'm not a big movie guy like that.
Well, I mean, you know the names. I mean, it doesn't have to be like quality actor. I mean, Tom Cruise is up there. I don't think he's as quality of an actor as Hanks, but like he's in a lot of big things. I think it's Hanks the last 40 or so years. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in.
Oh, I got to give a second clue.
You do have to give a second
clue. You're ducking Hughes.
No, I thought we were
going
to do it at the top of the 12 because we did it at the top of the 11. You want to give it right now? Give it right now.
I do want to give it right now.
Go ahead.
He came up 2 times on the morning show this week.
All right, so clue number one, actor/comedian.
Yep.
And clue number two for Q's Clues, he's come up twice on the morning show?
Twice.
This week.
And Justin this week?
Like, and by the hosts, or this is callers driven?
Callers.
Callers have brought the... All right,
you know how they do their side topics.
Well, of course. I mean, that's a morning show staple. All right, there are your 2 clues for Q's Clues out there. Pair of tickets, Phillies and Red Sox on the line for next Tuesday, July 22nd at 6:45. 215-592-9494 for your top 5 Phillies as we go through quarter century week. Best 5 Phillies, your favorite 5 Phillies of the last 25 years. Who makes your list? And is Bryce Harper an automatic? He's not for me. He was for Kyle. Where do you come down on that? Your thoughts on the Commanders? Are they a real threat to the Eagles? And we'll get the Joel Embiid story on ESPN yesterday. Our biggest takeaways from a long story about Joel, his career, his feelings, his emotions as he heads into the 2025-26 season. That's all next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.